Okay, this is Ronnie Reed interviewing David Kiefer at Jacksonville State University on April the 2nd. The subject of this interview is regarding David's life and also his time spent in the in what is now known as Desert Storm, the Gulf War. Okay, David, let's start off with a little bit about your life. Where were you born at?
Born in Washington, Pennsylvania, on July 26, 1954.
Okay. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have five brothers and sisters.
What did you choose as your career?
Technical theater.
Technical theater. So did any of your other siblings choose anything of that sort?
I've got one brother in broadcasting, radio DJ. Most of my family has been involved. My siblings have been involved in theater off and on, but I'm the only one that works.
Well, why did you choose that as a career?
I just got interested in it in high school. Figured it was something I wanted to do.
Well, so you finished high school. Did you start college there, or did you get married first?
No. I worked for my father for about 4 years, and then I joined the Army. Enlisted in the Army, stayed there for about 3 years, and then when I got out of the Army, went to back to college.
So you were full-time in the Army there for a while,
yeah,
right?
3 years.
Okay. Anywhere during this time did you get married, or did that come later?
That was in college.
Oh, that was in college. Okay. So you met your wife in college, and married when?
In January of 82.
January of 82. Okay. And do you have any children?
No.
No children? Okay. And when did you decide that you were going to go into the reserves as you are now?
Pretty much right after I got off active duty in the reserves, and was enlisted for about a year. And then when I started at Auburn, I enrolled in ROTC. 2 years later, received commission as second lieutenant.
So that in fact helped you to get through college, in essence,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it helped.
And you've just stayed there since?
Yeah.
So, when did you first hear about the Gulf War? Do you remember that?
Actually, I was at drill the weekend that the invasion of Kuwait started, and we talked about it and had very little expectations that my unit would be going, because at the time my unit was assigned to Korea. Our wartime mission was Korea, and we were told that the units would be called up for their wartime missions. In other words, the unit that was assigned to go to Southwest Asia would be the one going.
If it ever
got that big. We had some of our subordinate units were assigned to Southwest Asia, and they were called up and sent fairly early on. One unit went in September.
According to some of the things that I've studied, it says on January 16th at about 6:40 p.m., that's when Marlon Fitzwater announced that the liberation of Kuwait had begun. So when that happened, what went through your mind? I mean, did you think we were doing the right thing, or did you?
Yeah, it was interesting. I was still at home.
Oh, were you?
We had still not been called up.
Okay.
I was at home watching television. First came on TV. Stayed up almost all night watching it. because I had a lot of friends there.
Yeah.
And it was quite important, but we had been told again in January, there was a possibility that we would be called up in early January. And then right before the air war started, we were told we were definitely not going. That the war was getting ready to start, and they had called up all the units they needed. That proved false.
Yeah.
Later.
Man, I tell you. After you found out that all this was going on, what was the general consensus among the people in your troop or whatever? I mean, was it positive, or did you guys have some
Oh, yeah. It's kind of interesting. War is something that people in the military don't like, but, well, you don't want to get killed.
Yeah.
You know? But it's something you train for. I have been in the military, when we got called up, I had been in for 14 years. And you train for and talk about what if we go to war. Well, all of a sudden that what if became much more realistic.
Wow.
And so, and then when we finally did get called, it was a very, very short notice type of thing.
How long did you know before?
2 days.
2 days?
2 days.
So you had just 2 days to get your life prepared, basically?
Yeah. Basically what happened is I got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning. Rude awakening.
Really?
With the code word that we had been called to active duty. At 4 o'clock in the morning, that's kind of, takes a while for the brain to figure out what the person's talking about when they're using codes. And then he said, by the way, that means we've been called to active duty in Southwest Asia. And Southwest Asia is not what most people call the Persian Gulf.
Yeah.
But it's the military, you know, it's the real geographic location of the Persian Gulf. So it took a while for it to sink in that Southwest Asia meant, you know, Desert Storm, because it, in fact, had already started. And like I said, I got the call at 4 o'clock Thursday morning to report 6 o'clock Saturday morning. Be prepared to not come back, go back home.
Hmm.
In fact, we got to go back home one time on Saturday night, Sunday night. And that was it. We left on Wednesday. We mobilized faster than any unit in the United States military.
So how did your wife respond to this?
She wasn't real excited about it. Her father had gone over there already as a civilian volunteer for Anson Army Depot. He had left right before Thanksgiving.
Oh, man.
So her father was there. Also at the time, we had foster children. We had 3 foster children at the time. So she was kind of stuck with that. And then just the, you know, the uncertainty and all that, and the quick deployment. Also the fact that we were, where most spouses were going off to an unknown situation, we were going to war because the war had already started.
Yeah.
You know, most people went thinking there wasn't really going to be a war. They were already shooting each other by the time we were called. So.
Well, for those who maybe listen to this in the future, what recount, let's regress a little bit and recount what actually started this war.
Okay. Basically, on August 2nd, Iraq invaded the Kingdom of Kuwait, one of their neighbors. They claimed that that part of the world was legally theirs, although, you know, obviously wasn't. Basically, what they were going for were the oil fields, though. Because Kuwait controls about 20% of the world's oil reserves. Mm-hmm. And also, they were looking for ports, in that Iraq does not have any of their own deep-sea ports for oil tankers to dock at. And so that's basically what they were going for. We had military agreements with Saudi Arabia and Kuwait that said if they were attacked or threatened that we would come to their aid. And unknown to most Americans, we have been planning and preparing for this for years.
Mm.
There were air bases built all over Saudi Arabia. All they were asphalt strips in the sand, but they were built by the United States, civilian contractors, to be used for U.S. military aircraft. We also built a large military installation in northern Saudi Arabia called King Khalid Military City. On the books, it's supposedly a base for the northern command of the Saudi army. What's interesting is their barracks were 3 times as many soldiers as the Saudi Arabian government has.
Wow.
So it doesn't take a genius to figure out that it was also intended for Americans. Also something interesting that really proves that it was for possible American troop use. The toilets in Saudi Arabia are not like the United States. They have holes in the floor, and they squat over the hole. All these barracks have American toilets.
Hmm.
So it was quite obvious to everybody involved that it was designed and constructed for use of the United States military.
So we anticipated this years in advance,
yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah. This was built in the 70s, this facility. Was built in the late 70s, early 80s.
So that's something that wasn't well widespread.
No,
Matter of fact, that's the first time I've ever heard this.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know it. Actually, it was an Alabama company that built the facility.
Wow.
A guy out of Montgomery, and he's the one that donated all the money to the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. He made that money that he donated building this facility in Saudi Arabia at a cost of $5.8 billion.
Wow. So that's kind of ironic, though, that you'd go over there seeing as how you're in drama. What a coincidence.
Yeah.
That's something very interesting. So the war has begun, and you're on your way over to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going through you guys' mind as you're flying over there?
Well, the flight actually was probably one of the worst parts of the whole deal. everything happened so fast that it was, for us, that it was, you were almost numb. We were called up, stayed at the Armory for a couple of days, packed everything we owned, and went to Fort Stewart, Georgia to deploy. Well, that wasn't even in our war plans. Our war plans were to go to Fort McClellan.
Oh.
But they didn't have a big airstrip at Fort McClellan, and we were flying over with all of our equipment. 2 C-5s.
Hmm.
So Stewart was the only place that we could go. So we went to Stewart, and we're only there for 3 days. Most units stayed for a month and a half to 2 months, preparing to go to the Desert Storm, the Desert Shield. We stayed for 3 days. We actually were certified for deployment in 2.5 days, which was the quickest any unit in the United States military has been certified for deployment to Southwest Asia. Including the 82nd Airborne took longer than that to get over there. But as it turned out, we found out after we got there why that had happened. They were holding up the war for us. My unit is kind of a unique unit. It is an ammunition group. Basically the only ammunition group in the United States Army. And an ammunition group is the people responsible for all the ammunition in a multiple core war.
What do you mean by multiple core?
The U.S. Army is divided into different size units, and it goes from like division, and there are three or more divisions in a corps. And generally, most of our conflicts since World War II have been single core conflicts. Even Vietnam was a single core I Corps. It was basically a single core conflict. An ammunition group is designed now, the way we're set up now, we only go if there's more than one corps, which is why we were not called up early. And the second corps, the first corps that went was the 18th Airborne Corps. They went, you know, in August. And then the 7th Corps out of Germany was called up and was sent over in November. Well, they were trying to operate the ammunition mission like they didn't need an ammunition group. But in a planning meeting in early January, General Schwarzkopf basically said, we cannot do this without the proper units. And we're missing a few units. And so they identified certain units that they were missing, and we were one of three units they were missing.
Mm.
They were missing a MP POW unit, large unit that could care for tens of thousands of MP prisoners of war. They were missing one more field artillery brigade, which came from Oklahoma, and our unit. And so those three units were told, were called up and said, come now. Well, ours was the last one called because we were real small. We only had 500 people.
Huh.